The Dallas Stars are on the path to the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs. We need you to bring the intensity to American Airlines Center for the rest of the season and help the Stars secure their playoff spot and fulfill their Stanley Cup destiny.
Jamie Benn, Stars captain, forehand, he scores!
Don't miss a single second of what is sure to be an exhilarating final stretch of the regular season for Texas hockey. Tickets available at DallasStars.com.
I just want to say that Daryl said the word malarkey.
I did.
And I'm supposed to be the old guy.
You know what? That's my more nouveau word rather than balderdash or poppycock.
You are a wordsmith.
I am that.
Welcome to the Podman Rush, the official podcast of the Dallas Stars, presented by Kingsville Brewery. Let's join the rush with your hosts, Daryl Razor Ray and Mike Hyka.
Well, hello, hello, hello again, everyone. I feel like we are legionnaires back from the battles in Gaul and Carthage. Scipio Africanus! Yes, I've been watching Gladiator a lot lately. It keeps coming on. I keep just locking down on it. I can't stop it. I can't quit it. I love it. Love every bit of it. But Mike Hyka, 12 of 17 on the road out of the All-Star break. And it felt like it.
Yes.
And that was a kick in the crackers trip home from Cali. We haven't done that in a long time. I'm glad they made the decision to fly after the game. But, man, that is a difficult night. Two-hour time difference. Set our clocks ahead. Walked into the house at about 6 a.m. After, I think in the normal world, the NARP world. Do you understand the NARP world, Mike?
I do not.
NARPs are non-athletic regular people. For those of us, you know, who were highly trained, highly compensated professional athletes. And I think even those in high school athletics, college athletics, they're the athletic world. And then there's the NARPs. You know, then that's how the look down your nose athletes look at the rest of the world. I'm just letting you in. I'm pulling the curtain back for you, Mike.
You're saying that's not a proud thing to be a NARP? We don't have NARP clubs running around?
No, it's a little bit of slander, I think, from the athletic community. I love it, though. I think it's a great acronym. So, NARPy. Anyway, about last night. So come off of all things successful on the road and demolish the Ducks and dismantle the LA Kings. And then for 40 minutes, they're so bloody good and they're hammering the best team, the best road team in the NHL, the best team in the Eastern Conference, a beast. And they're making them look severely inferior. And then the third period rolled around.
It wasn't pretty. In even just the final 10 minutes of the third period, really.
Yeah, but I think right from that intermission, the Stars maybe natural habit, take their foot off the accelerator. And I could smell it, man. I was like, they're spending way too much time just on their side of center. And they always attacking. Like the theory or the philosophies of both coaches, who are very good friends and following Pete DeBoer here now for a couple of years, just love the attitude, which is attack, right? Like they defend by attacking. They attack in the offensive zone. They feel that that's the best way to defend their own end. You know, a good offense is a great defense. All those things. And they were doing it for 40 minutes. They were phenomenal. And then away they go in the third period, where they got just slightly back, rocked on their heels, and probably a real conversation between periods in the Florida room after 40 minutes as they're getting throttled. And then bang, they took their game to their usual level, and the Stars backed off and then ran into penalty trouble. Yeah, I have a theory, Mike.
Okay.
Officials are calling more right now. Mm-hmm. There seems to me to be an uptick in tripping penalties more than anything else. There's hooking penalties, but there's lots of accused of or allegedly tripped. There's a lot of sticks going on to shin pads, and if the player falls down, it's tripping. When they didn't really trip him, they touched him, but they didn't fully trip him, but they're whistling it. And, hey, rev up your power play. It was great for the Stars when this was going along. They needed that power play goal in Los Angeles. It took five and, what, a minute 59 of the fifth one in order to score a power play goal against them. But, man, they ruptured with their penalty kill in the third period last night.
Yeah. It's funny because the first two periods, you're like, I draw these things up in my head too much because you're trying to write a story and everything, but you're like,
how many stories did you write last night as that was going on?
12 or 15, but you enter it and you're like, these are potentially the two best teams in the league. They could potentially face each other in a Stanley Cup finals. And you're like, it's kind of cool. And then all of a sudden here, your little Dallas Stars are the better team, hands down. And so I think that to me was the biggest kick in the nether regions is the fact that they played so well and then fell apart. Yeah. You know, if it was just a normal game and it went this way, it went that way, they gave up a power play or penalty kill, power play goal, it would have been different. But like, they dominated the Florida Panthers. That goalie was phenomenal, and they still beat him. Like, he's 18-2-2, and they found a way to put the puck past him. And then it just, I don't know. It really brings some doubt into my mind about, are they ready for the playoffs? Is Jake ready for the playoffs? I keep going to the goalie just because his numbers are not where they've been in his career. And, you know, you look at that third period and you're just like, what? What are they? How can they do this? And they were very positive after the game. So, you know, I think we all have to stay positive for right now.
Yeah. You know, the way our broadcasts work, when they win at home, I never go on after the game. I don't get to celebrate the wins and the victories. I only go on after losses. It's a tough existence. It's always like trying to explain where this thing got away in that.
It's like the captain has to come out after the loss.
Yeah. But I was curious when you went down into the room, what was it? Did you get the sense it was more like talking points, like consensus talking points after the game, or real talk? I caught some of the Pavelski stuff. Joe's always great and honest with his evaluation and what was that, and you know, what are the ramifications of a loss like that? But were they sort of sticking to a talking point that, hey, a lesson, we'll learn a lesson from it? Is that the deal?
We only got a couple of guys, and they clear out. I mean, back in the day, you used to go in there and kind of actually talk to a few players off the record, but they're all gone by the time we get in there. So Joe was the mouthpiece, and he was fantastic. If anybody wants to watch an interview about him, how a professional handles a difficult situation, he was really good. Jason Robertson talked, and he's an interesting guy in that no matter what he does, no matter what good happens in the game, he is concentrated on the loss. And, you know, I think he's like a lot of players and like a lot of fans, that to him was a lasting feeling was, no, whatever we did good in the first, 40 minutes, I don't want to talk about it. We lost the game. So I think it was a little bit of both. I think Pete is always, the mouthpiece. I think they echo a lot of the stuff he tells them. And he was very positive afterwards that, that was a good sign that they played that well against that good of a team and, that they can replicate it. And then the other, point is, we got 15, 17 games left and we can definitely learn from this and use it going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. You touched on the one area. I don't know what it is about late game or third periods at home, but the save percentage isn't what it is on the road.
No.
You want the number?
Sure.
So the save percentage in third periods on the road is 924, which is excellent.
Yeah.
Like that number would, I think that would lead the league in save percentage, or pretty close. That's around the best that it gets. Third periods at home, it's 865.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's just the numbers. I don't understand it fully, but it's happened a couple of times. And the first thing that came to my mind last night was the echo of the loss to Colorado here when they were up 3-0.
Correct.
And then they can't get a tourniquet around the wound when it starts bleeding and hemorrhaging like that. They gave up, what was it, 6 straight in that one, right?
Right.
Yeah, 6-3. And then this one last night, up 3-0, and they allow 4 in a row and can't stop it. So those sting.
Well, and then again,
they can be learning curves and all that. And I agree. Like, sometimes you need to get, you know, punched in the throat right in the, you know, especially by a good team. Like,
yes,
it's one thing to get away with what they did or didn't do in San Jose, right? With the 7-6 win. It was wonderful that they got the full 2 points. And you kind of understand with top teams, they're just mentally not fully engaged in some of those games. And there's some slop in that. But so you had that game, and then you had a game against Anaheim where just a disaster. It's trade deadline day. Their season's over with, and they looked like it. And the Stars outclassed them by a mile. And then they went into Los Angeles, and the Stars played fantastic. I love their game in L.A. They seem to play well there, and Wedgwood plays terrific in there. But they really handled them. They gave them no room, and that was just a really good, rich, veteran road win. Come back home, and they're playing great again. I was actually concerned coming off of how they had to travel back and everything. I was like, man, are they going to be down a pint in the injury department against a team that likes to go full throttle and that they just mauled them for 2 periods. And then bad things start to happen. And it just feels like it cascades a little bit when that happens. And they need to fix that.
Definitely. And the other interesting thing is, I mean, we've talked about this for years in the playoffs, that home ice isn't what it is in other sports.
Yeah.
Good point. It's like 50-50. And at this point, they seem to be in a good place for home ice. And the worst thing you can do is go lose one of those or both of those games at home to start a series. And if that save percentage and some of the other things that we've seen at home flare up again in game one or game two, and you're the host team, that's a really bad thing. Now, you can overcome that kind of stuff, especially when they're as good a road team as they've been. But you'd like to, if you're going to be at home, you'd like to take some advantage of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've been fine to pretty good at home. It's not like they're a disaster at home. It's just how they've had to win. It's very, it's like they've had to win differently at home than they have on the road.
Yes.
And maybe that's just part of environments and that, I don't know. Anyway, enough of that. It's done. So is the deadline. You want to revisit your deadline predictions and wants?
For the Dallas Stars? Yeah, yeah. They got exactly what they wanted. I mean, you can argue that they could have gotten
it. Whoa. They already had Chris Tanev when we talked about
Okay, so then
you falsely predicted more moves, Mike.
I don't think I did.
Oh, I believe you did.
Maybe I did.
I
remember a statement about Jim Nill saying he didn't want to upset the chemistry in the room.
All right. See, you write stuff in your notebook, because the reporter in you.
That's right.
I heard this. I heard from others around the league that the prices were shockingly high if you wanted to make some deals. And that's why they're really, it didn't feel like it was a big blockbuster trade deadline, did it to you?
No. Although, when you look at what some of those teams added, I mean, if you want to look at Vegas, that sure seems like a pretty good haul.
Yeah. That's a different animal, though.
Yeah.
We could go on for an hour, and I'm not going to on LTI. That's going to get changed. You can just hear, you can hear it in some of the others' voices, and it doesn't make any sense that you have two different caps. You have a regular season cap and you have a playoff cap. Shouldn't they both be the same? I think that's what most people are feeling, is that your playoff cap should be the same as your regular season cap.
And there's a trust issue. Not. There's a trust issue there on how you're walking along that injury line.
Yeah. Well, hey, they're the ones that do it to themselves. They don't report anything. Upper Correct. Body, lower body.
Yep.
You're wide open to that, rather than having to really pinpoint things. Surprised the goalie market was so cold?
Yes. I mean, I kind of thought Edmonton might go after somebody. There's a couple other ones.
LA?
Yeah.
There were lots of rumors there. There was rumors in Carolina. There were a lot of rumors.
Yeah.
You know, and the biggest pieces, and I guess part of it, well, certainly part of it in Nashville is that they might make the playoffs.
Yes.
Why would they be peddling UC Saros? And then Calgary are not. And I don't know what happened. That got squirrely. It looked like he was a done deal going to the Stars' next opponent.
Correct.
And then nothing, and then he never moved at all. So it is, I've heard lots of people talk about it, and I thought there would be more this year. I thought more teams were just going to take a flyer on it because there were, you know, there was enough of a market out there for teams really needing something, it felt like. But it's a tough thing to add, I guess. And I understand it from this standpoint. There's so much pressure on the position. And then when you can add a defenseman and he has a partner and there's a goaltender in behind him. You can add a forward and there's two line mates and then there's two defensemen and then there's a goalie behind him. When you just add a goaltender and that guy is supposed to be a difference maker for you, man, that is a heap of pressure on a guy with 22 games left to go in the season.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether that comes into play with a lot of GMs where they're just like, man, we're going to give up what to get that. And then if mentally it just doesn't work and physically it doesn't work, then where do we go next? I don't fully get that. So maybe that was part of it. The bigger view of things was the stuff closest to the Stars, which are the Avs and the Jets, as the Stars try to win this division. And the Avs got deeper and probably nastier. Yes.
Yep. And added Val too. I mean, we talk about Stankoven here. I mean, Val Nichushkin's a good player and they just added him.
Well, did they? I mean, he was there at the beginning of the year.
He was, but I'm just saying, as we make this push towards a playoff.
It's not really adding him. Come on, Mike. They added an entire line of forwards.
I know.
they added a line.
Yeah.
You know, and they've relied so heavily on their top guys. So, you know, and hard to play against guys. So they look like a better team coming out of it. And the Jets' former Flames got onboarded there, right?
Yes.
So they got playoff proven guys, forwards, a little more offense. So they got better. And the Stars got better. We talked about this last week with Chris Tanev. That they're better. It's a better top four with him in it. How's that? Is that
the best way
to say it?
Yeah. And it has that feel of the old Red Wing Stars in Colorado days, where the top teams got better and they're all pushing. And they, you know, so now you always talk about the bar needs to get raised. Well, it sure looks like in the Central Division, each team raised the bar a little bit, and that's going to be great for the fans.
So Winnipeg is Detroit now in your world?
Sure.
Okay. I get you.
It's a different time back then. They were bringing in all sorts. But the point being is those teams that knew they had a chance, they were saying this is the year. We're not building this for 2 years from now. We're building this for the next 2 months.
Yeah, yes. Good point. Although they don't just mortgage the entire future anymore like they loved to do back then. It was although Vegas does. Vegas, they had to keep their draft pick this year because they're drafting at the Sphere. But other than that, they've never met a first round draft pick they can't deal. They never fall in love with their players.
No.
The ones they don't even have yet. So, hey, here's a premise that I was pondering as I was nodding in and out of Dreamland and RIM. Is it RAM or RIM? RAM.
RAM. Right? Rapid eye movement.
What am I saying? RIM. RIM was BlackBerry. What am I doing?
Your acronyms.
What a moron.
Okay. Now, ZIP. What is that now? ZIP is that an acronym? Just joking.
Yes, it's from zip code. Yes. That's a callback. Wow. Okay, just listen to the premise here. Is okay. This the deepest Stars team ever?
Ooh. I'm going to say no.
I don't think it is either. But at least they're in the conversation.
Yes, definitely. Much more deeper than the previous 20 years.
Yeah, you probably have to go back 20 years.
Yeah.
I would go back to 2002, 2003. Right?
I might go 99.
Okay, listen to me then.
Okay.
You shut your mouth while you're listening to me and talking to me, okay? Because I'm going to drop some facts on you. That 03 team should have won the cup. They had 620 goal men. So they had enough spread offense with six guys with 20 goals. But Mike Modano led team scoring by 30 points over Zubov. Mo had 30 more points than Zuby. So that's the offensive side of things. Marty Turkle finished the season with a 1.73 goals against average and a 932 save percentage. In front of him, this was the decor: Hatcher, Zubov, Sidor, Matvichuk, Robida, Boucher. And their top three centers. And this has shades of kind of shades of what's going on now. But the top three centers were Modano, Jason Arnott, and Turgeon. Two of those guys are in the Hall of Fame. That's a good hockey club. I'm not even mentioning like the Bill Guerins and all these other people that were involved in it. And just striking some highlights here from the 2002-03 Stars. That team finished the season with 17 regulation losses. The Stars last night, that was their 18th regulation loss of the season. 17 regulation losses in 82 games. It was a good team. Should have won the cup. I think they won in 99. They obviously could have won the next year in 2000 when they lost to Jersey. And then that 03 team with, you know, Doug Armstrong as the GM and Dave Tippett as the coach and that collection of talent, that was a Stanley Cup team. They had all the calluses and the experience of the Cup guys and the additions of others. That was a great team. Great team. Should have won.
I agree.
I think that might have been the deepest team. The 99 team was phenomenal, obviously.
I was going to say, I guess it would be, you have to argue what their role might be. So having Carboneau and Skrudland and Keane and all those quote-unquote checking line forwards,
yeah,
is that depth that was perfect for that, how Hitch wanted to play. And then having Ludwig and Chambers on the third pair, was at the depth that was perfect for that team? So you can argue deepest teams and things of that nature.
No, but that's what we do. I'm just looking for things to talk about, Mike.
Okay. I will say this. What was Smitty the backup that year?
No, wasn't it? Was it Johan Hedberg?
It may have been. I was just going to say
Hedberg.
They have a sub 2.00 for the year. If Marty's 1.7, whatever.
1.73.
I mean, how do you lose games? You don't give up more than two goals. Yeah. That's amazing. That's really it was a really impressive gathering.
Yeah. A little bit, I was thinking of this yesterday, a little bit like Florida's team, where they, you know, they have the best all around goal scorer. I know Austin Matthews is leading the league in goals, but Reinhardt's leading in power play goals, game winning goals, shorthanded goals, like shooting percentage. So they have all of that wrapped up in him. And then they have Bobrovsky, who's leading the league in goals against and just about leading the league in save percentage. That's a neat trick. And then all the stuff in between. So they're a formidable opponent, as we witnessed last night, Mike. But this group right now is pretty thick, though. This group right now is pretty thick.
I agree. And they can get even thicker.
Lick your wounds. Oh, yeah. You get the two guys out back in, and that forward group is even deeper. And, man, they get everything in behind the blue line humming along, and they're, again, a very tough out. They play to their potential for 60 minutes.
Correct.
So we've traveled to every arena now except for Seattle. We haven't been out there yet, right? This season we've gone everywhere.
Yep.
So I love some of these arenas. But I'll be honest with you. I'll run through some of these here, my favorites and sort of why. I have a tough time putting any of them ahead of American Airlines Center right now. That is an enjoyable evening of just sound and visual and everything together and the hues of green in there. And I really enjoy the vibe at American Airlines Center right now. I really do.
No, I agree. Maybe it's because
we haven't been there that much.
Yeah, I long for it.
I'm so fond of it to be back in there again.
I tell Matt DeFranks that it's the Ritz-Carlton of arenas. Like, you know, there's a certain vibe in the new ones that are sporty. And, you know, there's certain ones that you can tell they were done on a budget. But you walk into that place and it feels like a fancy hotel. I mean, the marble.
Is it the Ritz-Carlton Montreal?
Yeah, better, I think. Do you know what millwork is?
Best toilet on the circuit.
You know what millwork is, right?
Millwork? Yes, of course.
Because you're a construction guy. And I was trying to point this out to Matt. I go, you don't get this kind of millwork in an athletic arena. This is high quality hotel millwork. And the finish in there is just amazing. And then, of course, obviously the experience, the people who put that together every night.
Yeah.
Like the throwback night the other night, I was just having a ball with 80s music and commercials, and they do a great job.
You're such an old.
I am an old.
Okay, here's my group, and it is about experiences. My top five or six or whatever I came up with in 2024. The best warm-up and intros, and I said warm-up, not warm-ups. It's not plural. Warm-up intro into the game is at T-Mobile in Vegas. That's insanity.
Yeah, I agree.
It's throbbing insanity. It's so fun. It's so energetic. They can go a little corny over the top with the night out there skating around and the, you know, full novel that unfolds in front of you. But for the most part, man, it is a show. It's very Vegas. It's perfect for that, right?
Yep.
Then you go to Madison Square Garden in New York. It just history, the game vibe. It's organic in there. You know, angry New Yorkers. Their team gets going, and they are, you know, full voice behind them. The team is not, and they are crushing individuals on their home team. Chicago, the UC. You know, pretty. I'll give them a lot of kudos. They've had to crater after all the glory, and it's still a good place to go into and see a game. And they, you know, again, they start every season on third base, if that makes any sense, if you know what I mean. Yes. You know, now Bedard, but they have that shoot the puck, right? Anytime you have Cindy Crawford slamming one. from center. You got something going on, right?
Yeah, it's a great city.
Like Cindy Crawford shoots pucks from center ice and scores.
And what is she, 60-year-old, 50-year-old Cindy Crawford?
Oh, my God. Mike, we don't have to get into ages. She's a beautiful woman. She's a supermodel.
To be able to do that skill.
Oh, I see.
In her 60? High heels. Yes.
Oh, my God. At 60.
Yes.
60 is just, 40,
I'm watching it. It is, but I'm just watching her going like, holy crap, that was impressive.
Yeah, she knew what she was doing.
As an athletic feat, that was impressive.
Yes, I concur. And also, although they've pulled back a little bit and sort of diminished the work of Frank Pellico and the pipe organ in there, it still feels, I love stuff that is just exclusive to that. And it feels very Hawks hockey when I hear that stentorian organ blast. There's a lot of music in that now, and it's just sort of, they're giving it the, we'll put a little bit in here, but people really want to see two young people with microphones yelling at 20,000 people in the arena. That seems to be the go-to around most venues in the National Hockey League. Just yell at people. Montreal has the Premier League soccer game day feel about it. Like the whole downtown core, once you get inside there, it's old school. But at the same time, it's so passionate and knowledgeable and well done. Everything they do in there is well done. I love everything in Montreal. I love the old barn. I love the Bell Center now. I would throw Crypto in there. I struggle to say Crypto. It's still Staples Center to me, but that is quite a sound system. They have a garden of statues outside. I think maybe they've gone a little over the top with that. They have Uncrustables that are slightly frozen in the fridge in the media dining room. Uncrustables.
I know. One of the service guy was eating one in the elevator.
Slightly frozen.
Like, this is like Mike, so good.
Mike, it's next level. I mean, it's peanut butter and jelly.
Yep.
In an Uncrustable. But if you have them where they're not slightly frozen, they're going to get a little mushy as the game moves along, and you're going to struggle to even get it out of the cellophane and then into your yap. But with this, by the time you need it, first intermission, second intermission, that thing is ready to go. It is prime. Pound that down. And then Will Ferrell on the glass a lot of games.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, please. So I like Climate Pledge, as I said. I love the aesthetics inside there. They have the double chandeliers, and they do a really good job, I think, in that arena too. But I'm going to sound like a complete homer, which I have no problem with. American Airlines Center on any night of the week now. Like, it doesn't have to be a weekend. It can be any night of the week. I love the fact the team moved the games to 7 o'clock. You get out of there. I'm home, and there's still part of the evening. I'm not just, slammed up against midnight by the time I get home. And I'm sure fans feel the same way. And it's just, it's a very enjoyable night of sports entertainment. How about you, Mike? That's my list.
It's very hard to take anything more than your list. I will say,
well, it's a great list.
It's an amazing list.
Yeah.
I will say I'm right there with you. I will, like, just as a journalist, make the argument that at this moment, you could argue that Vegas is better than Dallas just because they're Vegas and because it is so over the top. But yeah, I can see how.
I won't only argue. I'll fight you over that one.
I know you will. And then here's another one. I'm going to throw this out here, but on a nice February evening when it's 12 degrees, it's nice to make that walk across St. Paul and go to the arena where they actually love hockey. And there's statues of Peanuts characters, and there's ice, and it's a cool event. And that arena suits Minnesota. So I'm going to throw that to my wild card that I'm going to put in there. And I know fans will gripe and say that they don't deserve those uniforms and all that stuff. But I like Minnesota.
Well, you can throw that out there. I will throw some of that thawing dog dung from the park at you. For that
come on.
Statement.
It's fun when they have the ice statues up and you feel like it's 12 degrees.
No, actually, it's not. It's not at all. You just ruined it. You ruined everything, Mike.
I'm sorry. I always do.
How about this for a segue? The Stars are now going to travel to Nokia Arena in Tampere, Finland next November. Awesome. Suburban Helsinki, I think, right? I should know that.
I think it's actually a little further away from suburban Helsinki, but they are definitely going to visit Helsinki as well since three of their players are from Helsinki. I think they're
most of southern Finland, suburban Helsinki.
I guess you could say that in a depends on how far you want to go. Yeah. It's a metroplex. Anyway, I think they call it.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's how they pronounce it over there too, is metroplex. Kitos NHL. Thank you very much for this. What a special trip for the Finns. Oh, no, Luta. You're gonna get the Iso Luta over there, Mike. If you get included in this, you enjoy a big beer, Iso Luta.
And reindeer meat, apparently.
No, don't fry up some reindeer meat. That doesn't work very well. There's not a fork that can get into that. I proved it. Anyway, that was the big news.
I was
going to
say, isn't this special for you? Doesn't this bring back memories of living there and whatever you had to do to survive a season in Finland?
Anyway, I'm thrilled for our fans.
No, I'm serious. Not for the fans. Let's tell them your story.
I don't have a story.
Okay. I just think one, people love you, Daryl.
89 in Oulu.
There you go.
A long time ago. I packed a lot into that season, I'll tell you that.
When you were watching True Detective, it probably felt like that, right?
A little bit.
24 hours of darkness every day.
Little bit. No, I think we might have got a couple hours of dim light up there in Oulu. Did you catch the Hines pulling his goalie in OT?
Yes, I did.
Desperate times, desperate measures.
Smart move.
Yeah, it worked.
It did.
It worked.
And I'll tell you what, I don't think they were ready for it.
No. How about even some of the players don't even understand the deal? It's amazing to me. Like, I don't know whether that stuff at the Super Bowl was true or not, that players didn't understand the overtime rules. Was that gospel? They didn't?
No, they didn't. They had just changed, I think, a year before.
I don't care when they changed it.
But again,
how do you not know the rules?
Rules in the regular season, I think, were different.
Oh, my God. But I guess it doesn't happen that much. So you can excuse the players a little bit. But I thought it was just like broad common knowledge that you can pull your goalie in overtime. But if they score an empty netter on you, you lose your point. Yeah. I thought everybody knew that.
And that's been around for a while.
Since its inception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's typically used in like the last game of the season. Wait, if you have to have the 2 points.
Yeah. Reminded me a little bit of Crawford and the Stars in mini.
Yep.
What was that, 2011?
I don't remember the year, but yeah, I remember the actual event. It was awful.
When they had to win. God. They had to pull out all the stops. Couldn't win it in a shootout wasn't going to do it for him, right?
Right.
They had to get her done in regulation. Anyway, can you think of any other risk at all situations in sports? I was trying to think, like, where you actually take points off the board within it.
That's a good one. No,
you can go cover zero blitz in football.
Right.
And they can pick it up and just, you know, annihilate you and score the big touchdown and win a game, I guess. But you're not, where are you pulling a point off the board in any other sport for saying, I'm a riverboat gambler, here we go?
I guess it would be the field goal. You make the field goal to tie, supposedly, and then there's a penalty. And you're like, okay, are we going to take those 3 points off the board and go for the touchdown? And I guess the thought process would be, okay, we're going to get a field goal no matter what, but what if you throw an interception? Or, I mean, that supposedly is seen as a real risk if you're a head coach.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. Anything in baseball?
I can't think of anything.
I mean, there are difficult things like, and risky things like stealing home, but.
Right.
If you get picked off, they're not taking anything off the board.
Now you just lose your chance.
Like, it's a rare thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about us? Look at us. World beaters. The other thing that happened around the league this last week was a coach got kicked out. And that was all over the social media platforms, as they say in the modern vernacular. Do you remember the last time or a time a Stars coach got kicked out? Because I don't.
Didn't Rick get kicked out of one?
Rick Wilson? Bonus? Or Rick Bonus? See, now I was thinking it was either Bones or Crow because they were the most volatile.
Yeah, well, Crow was for sure.
Did Bones get kicked out for slamming sticks? Was that with us?
I thought he did, yeah. Or maybe it was even in the bubble. Not the bubble, but like one of those years where the arena was half empty.
That does that even count?
If you get probably kicked out? Not.
It's like a tree falling in the forest.
Right, nobody
saw it. If a coach gets
it.
Kicked out in front of nobody.
And didn't Gullitson, it wasn't here, but didn't he famously throw sticks onto the ice?
Look, there are lots of guys. Well, Jim Playfair went berserk.
Yeah.
Snap. Through stuff. Benches have been thrown on the ice. There's all kinds of things through the years. Tortorella's been booted, three or four times, I think.
Yeah. I like the fact that he said he wasn't going to leave.
I know.
You can't tell me what to do.
And then it was just one Wolf of Wall Street meme after another that came out. No, I'm not leaving. Not going to leave. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more.
For how fiery the sport is.
And the modern official is a little trigger happy. They don't put up with as much malarkey as they once did. And so I'm a little surprised that more guys haven't been given the heave-ho. Didn't what's his name? Did David Quinn get booted out too, didn't he, this year?
I don't remember that.
I think. I don't know. Could have been. What a podcast, hey? We have no information that is solid, just lots of conjecture and, well, I think so, and maybe. One thing we do know, Mike, is that Mike Modano's statue is going to be unveiled this weekend. We do know that.
I'm looking forward to that day,
Saturday. Fingers crossed on the weather. I haven't even looked. I know it's supposed to rain Friday. Maybe it can get it out of its system. We can have a nice day for that on Saturday. And I haven't seen it. Have you seen it?
No.
No, I have not seen it yet. And big coverage on the Bally Sports Southwest and on the ticket. And we'll have the ceremony down there on PNC Plaza. It's going to be a day. And then they're going to take on the Los Angeles Kings after that one. So that will be good.
Up in the press box last night, Jari Lehtinen, which just gave you the something big's happening here this weekend. They're starting to stream in already. I'm looking forward to the people who will be in attendance as well as Mike.
Yeah. And,
you know, it's kind of neat just seeing them all again.
Yeah. I love the organizational hugs. You know, I enjoyed that Chelios number 7 going up in Chicago. Enjoyed all the Yager festivities in Pittsburgh. It's good. We've been blessed. We've had some phenomenal athletes here, and none better and more important than Mike. And he's getting his just due with an eternity reasonable facsimile of number 9. So that'll be fun. In the meantime, I need a nap. So we got what? Devils? Mole? Devils. Kings?
Yep.
Yotes? Pens?
You're home.
On tap, rest of the homestand.
You got like 3 days off in there at some point.
Shut your mouth. Seriously?
Yeah, I think over the weekend. Like Saturday.
3 straight days without a game?
It might be.
That doesn't sound
real
to me.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday?
You are not real. You're not a serious person, Mike.
I'm not. I'm not a journalist, that's for sure.
Devils, Madonna, Kings, Yotes, Pens. And I will say this, hay will be made in the next couple weeks.
Is that a
hay
guarantee?
Will be made. All right, let's get out of here.
You've been on the Podman Rush with Razor Ray and Mike Hyka, presented by Kingsville Brewery, an official production of the Dallas Stars. To stay up to date on all things Texas hockey, visit DallasStars.com or download the official Dallas Stars app today.
Did you ever see the Saturday Night Live bit with Frank Sinatra?
The Frisco Fighters are back for another electrifying season of indoor football. Don't miss the action-packed, high-scoring intensity that Frisco Fighters Indoor Football has to offer when they hit the turf in March at Comerica Center in Frisco. From unique theme nights to exciting giveaways, the Frisco Fighters provide entertainment for the whole family. Get your tickets today at FriscoFighters.com.